The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com, brought to you by the Shellhead Comics blog at ShellheadComics.com, the Shellhead Comics blog, and so much more at ShellheadComics.com. Check out our wonderful sponsors. Gang, welcome, as always, my co-host, Dave Draper!
Yay!
Hey! We are back, gang, for another week of fun toy talk.
Hopefully.
A little less darkness this time. Lots more parents.
Yeah. Well, we had less darkness last week.
Yes, we did. Although there is a topic of concern that we're going to discuss later in the show. But
okay, yeah. I'm kind of curious what this is.
Yeah, well, something that's kind of something that I've kind of gotten irked about lately. Not
I
you.
Still I, well
yeah, well I would, it's not I you. Not. Yeah, no, it's not you.
I mean, I'm huggable.
You are huggable.
I'm a big cuddly huggable bear.
Yes, the pictures we take.
I'm a freaking ray of sunshine.
Yes, the pictures we took at this weekend's auction proved that beyond a point.
Yes.
So much so that
yes,
people
comma,
like
yes.
So much so that people like Mike Irizarry was texting me going, was Dave just playing or
did he really
yeah,
text
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Like, no, Dave's fine. I'm like,
yeah,
Dave,
no, that's just, my face is just
like,
that
like,
way.
Like, once the picture was taken, Dave would laugh because he thought it was amusing.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, guys, but let's get some toy news out of the way.
Yeah, let's get that toy stuff out of the
crap.
Way on our toy newscast.
We are getting closer and closer to a podcast, newscast. That's whatever. A cast something. We're old. What do we know about technology?
Technology?
Technology.
That's a funny looking tin can you got hooked up to that string.
I know, right? It records
23 Skidoo.
It
and
records
such.
Stuff to this weird black box with the big
to the
screen.
The internets.
I know, it's nuts.
And you got the Facebooks.
Oh, the Facebooks.
The Facebooks.
The Facebooks.
Or is that the MySpaces?
And our smartphones.
Our smartphones.
Phones. Yeah.
Our little Star Trek communicators.
Yeah. That was my. That's not a good Star Trek.
That was a very poor Star Trek communicator
yeah.
sound. And that was the. Just stop.
I can't do
it.
It
literally doesn't get any better.
Hold on, let me try one more.
It's the same weird chicken more. Noise. On. Okay, that was a chicken that ate a phone or something.
Fair enough.
Stop it.
Fair enough. I'll tell you what, Super 7.
Went berserk.
Yeah, it went berserk, which for those of you that don't know, you know, years a couple of years
pun
ago.
Pun alert, they're building their house on Comic-Con exclusives.
Yes. Super 7, of course, is the company that created the reaction line, basically, is they're the ones that actually released the Alien, or were going to release the Alien figures, and then they ended up teaming up with Funko,
yeah.
who has gone on with Super 7 in conjunction with Super 7 to
release.
They
gave them the distribution.
Yeah, they gave them the distribution for the reaction figures. Well, Super 7 has announced a whole slew of...
exactly one slew.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's threatening to be two slews.
It's a whole bunch of stuff. One of the last week, well, a couple weeks ago, a video surfaced.
Oh, come on, start with the first one.
Well,
then my pun doesn't work.
Okay, so one of the exclusives they announced.
Why do you always ruin my jokes?
Sorry. At their booth, they're actually producing and they kind of teased it on their Twitter and Instagram late last week, I think. And they're basically, they are releasing a 25-inch wide by 20-inch tall, three-storied macabre mansion called the Haunted House. It's a reaction playset. It's built for 3 3/4-inch figures. It is packed with sinister secrets at every turn, from trapdoors to concealed entrances? To concealed entrances, hidden rooms, and secret passageway. Basically, it will...
it looks neat.
Yep. It's packed with over 60 individually painted panels and countless custom double-pass die cuts on both sides of every board. They basically created a chipboard playset for this generation.
Yeah.
And that is literally what it is. It's a chipboard playset you have to put together yourself, much in the vein of the Death Star playset or the Transformers Command Center
yeah.
that came out in the 80s. Those type of playsets. So it is one that you have to basically put tab A into slot B
yeah.
kind of thing to build this great haunted house. These playsets will be available at the San Diego Comic-Con booth for Super 7, booth number 4945, limited one per person at the show, and will retail for $75.
So Comic-Con exclusives. I mean, it's a neat set. If it wasn't a if even at $75, if it wasn't a Comic-Con exclusive, I'd think about it.
Yeah.
Although the funny thing is, I mean, it clearly was meant to work with their, you know, sort of classic horror.
Correct.
Stuff,
right.
But of which there's not a single one of those figures used in the picture.
No, not at all. It's
They've
all
got Aliens and Predator
taxi
and Uhura. Yeah, like I don't understand that at all, but.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know why they wouldn't use the actual
like Frankenstein
horror.
And Freddy Krueger. And...
Yeah. I mean, although Predator and Alien.
No! In a haunted house, that's dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb. But I mean, it looks like a really fun little chipboard playset.
It looks neat. It looks like a neat display.
Again, though, it's $75 for what essentially is a cardboard playset.
Well, I know, but that's the way of the world these days.
I know, and I understand. I can only imagine to make something, even with a chipboard as detailed as it is. It probably was not cheap to, you know, create and produce and to figure out how to get to work. Again, though, it's a really neat playset. It really is.
That's cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's very, very, very different, to say the least. One of the other things that popped up last week was, maybe not last week, the week before, they started to release a video.
You get entirely too hung up on when these things are released.
Well, I know, but they released a video that teased, that basically teased Skeletor's Lounge.
Oh yeah, that thing.
Which teased it, and you know everybody was like, "What? What is that? What is this? What are we doing?" And nobody knew. They're like, "Well, what is that all about?" You know. And then they revealed that you had to visit either the Mattel or the Super 7 booth at San Diego Comic Con to basically get a. Skeletor token, in order to use to basically go to the Super 7 store and purchase what they announced would be a series of Masters of the Universe inspired exclusives through Super 7. And then this week they started to reveal what those exclusives were.
I think it was late last week was the
first
the
one.
Muscle ones, the Motusel.
They announced Motusel, muscle-inspired versions of the classic Master Universe figures. There will be a pink set and a black set, then only available at the Super 7, at the Skeletor's Lair pop-up at the Super 7 store, I believe. But there's 12 figures in the whole line. You know, all classic characters of the series. The only packaged ones they show are the orange and black versions of Skeletor, Beastman, and Trapjaw. So there's three per pack. So, you know, of course, you'll have to buy four packs to obtain all of them, or if you want both color versions.
Eight.
Yeah. I don't think they've listed a price. They have not listed a price on those, but there's a lot of people who love... muscle characters, but they're probably going to be around $20 a pop just for a series of three figures.
I mean, they're not going to be cheap because they're Comic-Con exclusives.
Right, they are Comic-Con exclusives, so they're not going to be very cheap at all. One of the other things they announced, and I can't seem to find pictures of it. There they are. Come back here, you. Another one of the Super 7 exclusives for the Skeletor pop-up shot. Are basically test shot variants of the jumbo Masters Universe characters released by Mattel earlier this year.
Yeah.
And the test shot means basically they're hobbled together with different colored plastic, much like a test shot would be if you've ever seen an actual test shot of a character. They're always like different colored plastic, whatever they can melt
to
make
them.
There's going to be a giant size test cast He-Man and a test cast Skeletor. And those are $95 a piece.
Those I don't get the appeal of at all.
Well, I don't either. Like, I didn't get appeal of the jumbo figures because they didn't. I mean,
the jumbo figures I get because Star Wars did it and it was successful.
Right.
That's what that was about. But like, So I can understand them trying to do that with Masters. I don't understand doing test shots.
No.
Like, because the Jumbo Masters didn't seem to catch on that big.
Well.
And now you're doing something really weird and obscure with that. Yeah,
and Mattel made mistakes when making those. They should have somehow made them in a resealable case like they did the Star Wars. You could open them, display them, but instead they actually glued the bubbles to the card backs, and a lot of people didn't get, you know, Jumbo figures in the best condition because of shipping issues. And doing these in these very obscure test shots,
it makes no sense. I don't get the appeal.
And then the other thing that's probably the most appealing is the fact that they're offering a set of basically a what if Mattel had gone a different route and continued on with the success of what Star Wars was doing with Hasbro, and instead made Masters instead of a 5 1/4 inch scale, I guess is what Masters was technically.
Instead of the scale they used, do it like Star Wars figures.
Yeah, basically the 3 3/4 inch scale. And I don't know if they're going to be painted.
No, they're going to be those. Because they described those as test shots, too.
Yeah, they're prototypes.
Well, prototypes.
But the set will include He-Man, Skeletor, Merman, and Beast-Man, and come with their weapons. Only at Skeletor's lair during the convention, and it's the only place...
See, a set of Stage 1 prototype Masters of the Universe figures.
Yeah, I got you. This set will run you $60 if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Honestly, here's the thing. Like, I've seen people kind of really diss these, and, those are stupid. Honestly, if they do a painted version of these, and you can get them, I would buy those in a heartbeat.
Yeah, if they...
Absolutely in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love... Like, I don't know if Danny knows, if Danny's got the... Because I know he knows people at Funko.
Right.
Like, I would love to find out if they're planning on doing painted versions of those. I would buy them.
I guess the story is that Mattel in Super 7, I guess they had gone to Mattel with the idea of including Masters in the reaction line.
Yeah.
And Mattel kind of hemmed and hawed and said, and then they decided, well, we're going to keep the reaction line pop culture and movie film orientated, basically. We don't want to include anything else. And they were like, well, what if we did it as a Comic-Con exclusive? And they weren't actual reaction figures. They were just these Stage 1 prototype type of figures. So that's why we're getting these. But again,
so that's all we're getting? That's stupid.
Apparently, yeah. These exclusives, apparently this is the only type of non-Mattel Masters exclusives we'll get it from, like, Super 7, basically.
Well, that's weak.
Yeah.
At the bottom. Oh, well.
Yep. Actually, before we move on to Funko stuff, continuing with Masters...
So you did know the answer to that. Because you were all like, I don't know. Who knows what the deal is? And suddenly you had the whole story.
Oh, well, I mean, I get what you're saying.
That's interesting.
My brain's not functioning
right now. How much do you withhold from our listeners on a weekly basis?
My brain's not functioning right now, okay? Sideshow Collectibles announced a new line of Masters Universe statues. Which is weird because Pop Culture Shock is doing statues based on the Filmation versions. So now Sideshow is doing these new reimagined, updated look.
And we all know how much Masters fans love their reimagined versions.
Yeah, no crap. A lot of people are already angry about these. And they're like, do we really need another overpriced, unaffordable statue?
No.
Yeah, exactly. But Sideshow will be producing... Masters Universe statues, beginning with He-Man and Skeletor, and San Diego Comic-Con will be the first place to see the first statue, which is He-Man from the line. And Sideshow not only included a little title card of the artwork, which shows you the reimagined He-Man's face, which...
What?
They showed a side shot of one of the expert painter... putting the finishing touches on He-Man. He's basically standing on a Castle Grayskull inspired mouth base, and you know he'll be holding his sword and looks like a shield as well. A lot of people are kind of taken aback by the shoulder. He's got this skull adorned on his shoulder that is basically wearing the Evil Inn headdress.
Okay.
Which everyone's like, why? Why?
I'm sure they'll have some stupid mythology that explains it.
Probably. But I've already seen people kind of, they're like, really, we don't really, really want this. We don't really need this.
And then they'll spend $100 and some odd to buy one.
Yeah, probably. It's probably going to run about $200, I imagine. But of course, who knows? We'll find out probably more information next week at San Diego Comic-Con. And then a ton of stuff for Funko. Funko announced, let me see, another... did we talk about these? No, we did not. It's hard to keep track of the Funko announcements because they just keep coming. They announced a number of new pop vinyls, including the Pop TV Arrow for the Arrow Unmasked, which is basically just the Arrow without his mask on. Kind of a, I don't know, like a early season 2 Oliver Queen.
I guess.
They announced a translucent glitter emoticon Baymax from Big Hero 6, which kind of gives you, recreates the scene where he's trying to figure out Hero's scale of 1 to 10, how bad he hurts. Another Minions figure gone batty, where the Minion is dressed up as Dracula, basically.
Yeah, that's in the commercials. They're Dracula Minions.
Ah, gotcha. Oh, that's right. That's right. Because they, yeah.
They, yeah.
Yeah. From Disney's Tangled, the Frying Pan Rapunzel and Burnt Pascal, where he's red. The Silly Dorbs of X-Force's Deadpool. And then, let's see. That's it for that one. There was a... Wave 9. Actually, Wave 9 is what we just discussed. Wave 10, which was announced today, is a Batman vs. Superman 2-pack based on the upcoming Batman vs. Superman film.
Hooray.
Yeah. Blue Crystal Heisenberg.
Oh, I get it.
For Breaking Bad.
I get it.
And then a bunch of Pop Tees, which are basically collectible tees in a box.
Oh, and they have their own icon now.
Yep, Freddy Funko. So there's a couple of Freddy Funko shirts. There's a Skeletor, Disco Skeletor shirt. There's a Burnt Stay Puft shirt. There's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirt and a Black Widow shirt for them. So, yeah. Interesting. Like Dave. So they've got a little mascot now.
Yeah.
Freddy Funko! Freddy Funko likes to do.
You know, I hate to say it, but I've already seen that the whole pop vinyl thing compared to what are some of the other stupid ass things? Like Pogs and Bean Babies and all these things that people went crazy for in the day and
Shopkins
then,
right now, basically.
Yeah.
Shopkins are
apparently that's a big thing that I've never heard of.
Oh yeah. Shopkins are
No, I've seen it. I've seen it at Toys R Us and I've heard people talk about them. Some kind of cute thing that's aimed at girls, so therefore it's insulting.
Well, it's not just that. It's like they're...
well, and their consumerism run-amok things. I don't know.
Well, they did these limited edition, like, runs of, like, ultra rares, like a 1 of 100. I'm trying to find, like, there's errors on here where, like, this little boot doesn't have a face, and they're asking $2,000 for it. A season 2 limited edition Lenny Lime, $1,000 is the starting bid. What are the sold? That's what I'm curious about, is the sold versions, because the Shopkins stuff is getting ridiculously out of hand. It's one of those things where it keeps building and building and building. Let's see. A Shopkins Season 2 Lenny Lime sold for $2,850 plus $65 shipping for a little tiny Shopkin.
Yeah.
a limited edition Rubber Glove, $1,600, $1,651 with $29 shipping. Another Lenny Lime.
These are things that have actually sold?
Yeah. With a certificate of authenticity out of 500 they made of these, $1,500. It's unreal. Another rubber glove sold for $1,250. Limited edition T, $1,225. These are thousands too. Another rubber glove sold for $1,150. Twinkie Winks sold for $1,009. It's unreal how much people are paying for these teeny, tiny little things. But yeah, Shopkins is basically going to kill themselves like Beanie Babies did. Because remember, Beanie Babies, there were some that were like worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And then the market crashed and you can't give them away.
Yup.
And those were limited too, so. And then going back to San Diego Comic-Con, Lego, a breakdown of all the Lego exclusives at this year's San Diego Comic-Con, which will be the Lego DC Comics Superheroes Action Comics number 1 Superman, which basically recreates the cover of Action Comics number 1. That'll be $39.99. DC Comic Heroes Roy Harper Red Arrow as Arsenal, which will be given away to select Comic-Con attendees. And then the Lego Scooby-Doo Mr. Machine and Shaggy Lifestyle models will be on display there to kind of pump the fact that Scooby-Doo is coming to Lego here real soon. And then the Star Wars Dagobah mini build, which is just, you know, basically what it says. It's a tiny mini build with these little Lego, like, just little Lego pieces representing Luke and Yoda, which that's kind of funny. That'll be $40. All-new Captain America minifigure of Sam Wilson, which will be given away to select Comic-Con attendees. The First Order Stormtrooper buildable figure from Star Wars The Force Unleashed, which will be $19.99. The Marvel Superheroes Throne of Ultron building set, which will be $39.99. And that comes with Ultron and three drones and a bunch of... bunch of different pieces. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's a Lego thing. It's got pieces. You build it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, basically, it's a thing. So, this past weekend...
Is it a thing?
It is a thing. This past weekend, David and I went to the went to our friend David Gull, his auction.
I did stuff before that, but yeah.
Well, you did stuff before that, but what did you do before that, Dave?
I went down to St. Louis to hang out with my friend Brad, and we went to Smoking Monkey Theater, which is a local... part of the Shakespearean Company, actually.
Well, that's interesting.
They do parody, they do the little parody play kind of things. I've seen Star Wars in an Hour.
Right.
And then there was one where they did two episodes of Star Trek.
Right.
And they've done other ones. And it's usually pretty funny and it's pretty cute, and they did Game of Thrones. They did literally Game of Thrones, the first book. And it was pretty funny. It was cute. A lot of jokes and nonsense and making fun of the show and making fun of the thing.
Right.
Had a good time. We hung out in the Loop and visited like the comic store, and they had their version of Recycled Records, and there's like a million hookah bars and a million there's like 4 hookah bars and 3 tattoo parlors, so apparently that's what the hep cats are doing these days.
Yeah, that's what all the hip people are doing.
The hipsters. So yeah, and then kind of a funny story, my friend Brad had bought a PS4.
Right.
And then, I guess, didn't even open it, decided that he really wanted to get the Batman edition. So he bought the Batman edition, he's like, so you wanted a PS4, right? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So he sold me his unopened PS4 and a copy of Arkham Knight for like less than what I would have paid for the actual just PS4.
Right.
So that was a pretty good deal. I mean, more than I had planned on spending, but...
Yeah.
So I had a good time, and then I got home, and you would watch the baby for me.
I watched Casey for you while you were gone. Mm-hmm. I spent the night at your house, and I had a blast. I had a good time posting photos to the Toy World Order group of me just being a goofball downstairs in your toy room.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that I wasn't so much bored as I always... Usually when I watch the house or go to Dave's, I'll go downstairs and look around, because I always like to see what Dave's added and what he's changed.
And I think it changed a lot since the last time you were down there.
Yeah, I hadn't.
Because you hadn't really gone down when you watched Casey the first time, you said. You just kind of went in and looked around a little bit and left.
I did, and that was before Kane County.
Yeah.
So I hadn't been down there since you put the Batman Forever stuff up and put all that up. So I went down there and kind of poked around and looked around and you know, had a good time. And I started taking some pictures, and then Casey and I went back upstairs, and I ate dinner, and she kind of hung out with me, and... I watched some TV and watched some movies while I sat there. And as I sat there, I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm done taking pictures, because I started laughing to myself. And I'm like, I know what else I want to do. So I went back there, down there, and did stuff like the aliens picture where you can just see my eyes and the aliens behind me and me saying, do you think
most of
your
pictures
me?
Were pictures of you, and then there was like blurry toys in the background.
I just like to leave people wanting more. Because Chad Plouffe, I think, was one of them, was like, more pictures. So I was like, all right. My favorite was the Dino Riders one. I said, Aaron McGarrett, Dino Riders. And my wife, Carrie, goes, Aaron McGarrett, go to bed already. But yeah, it was a good time lording over the Draper household for the evening.
Yeah.
I must say, yes, comma, yes.
Yes, comma, yes.
It was fun, though. But yeah, Sunday morning, it's, you know, Saturday morning, I had rolled out of bed and was getting ready to let Casey out, and I hear the door, you know, I heard the garage and heard the door open, and here you come. And I was like, oh, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, Saturday morning, like more like Saturday at 2 o'clock.
No, it wasn't that late. It was
pretty late.
No, it was almost 11 o'clock. It was almost 11 o'clock. So, it wasn't that late in the afternoon. Trust me, because when I got home, Carrie wanted to go for pancakes, so we went to Denny's. And from there, we went to... We made the rounds to some of the antique shops near where the Denny's was on the east side of town before we came home. So we didn't get home till like 4 o'clock. So, but yeah, and then Sunday, like last week after we'd recorded, I'd showed you the Gall auction listing for the Luke Lee David Gall auction house, and in that auction, which was in Springfield at somebody's house. These people had, you know, they had a lot of, they had some toys and they had some old vintage Star Wars stuff. And then they had a couple of like, they had a Colorform set that I was like, I'm curious. I kind of want to go on Sunday. Do you want to go? And you were like, all right, you know? Yeah. So David and I, we got up and went Sunday morning and went there and kind of, we poked around and looked through the stuff and kind
of. Yeah, of course. It's like. It's literally right behind my house.
Yeah,
so you had me drive all the way to your house.
Yeah, I did.
Well, because I thought it was at his auction house.
That's what Carrie thought, too.
Yeah.
And no, so you...
It was an estate sale.
It was an estate sale. Well, it was an estate auction.
Whatever.
Which actually turned out pretty good in the end.
Turned out okay.
I think. There was a lot of randomness. It was a lot of the Star Wars stuff we saw. It all had boxes, but...
Well, they were mostly boxes and very few actual items inside.
Right. Like, there was a Snowspeeder box and no Snowspeeder.
There was a TIE Fighter box. There was a TIE Fighter box that had the wings.
But no body.
Yeah.
There was a Millennium Falcon that...
They did have the Falcon.
Yeah, they did have the Falcon, and it was missing some chunks.
But
it was in good shape. They had, like, a Castle Grayskull that was missing most of the innards.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
But the hinges were still intact. There was just like there was randomness in little, you know, tubs and totes everywhere of stuff that we kind of poked around. So Dave and I were like, okay, well, we'll stay. You know, Dave was thinking, you know, you were gonna take a stab at some of the Star Wars stuff.
Some of it.
I had stuff that I was like, oh, I'll take a stab at some of it, see what happens. Because digging through there, I found like in a shoebox there was this I don't know what it was, Corvette. I don't know if it was a Corvette or what it was, a radio. And then next to the radio was the Masked Thunderhawk.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's missing the two little missiles, but Matt Tracker was in there. It still worked. It still looked good. I was like, all right, I'm going to take a stab at that. And then there was some other stuff as we went on. And so, you know, we had to wait for him to get to the toys. Once they got to the side of the toys, David, our friend David Gall, who's been on here before, was running that side of the auction. And he, you know, he starts bringing up the stuff that we're interested in. Much of it being, you know, just the randomness, like, trying to think what the first thing both of us won was, I won the Thunderhawk for like $6.
Yeah. I think the first thing I won, cause there was a box of horses.
Yes.
There was some Mark's horses and then there was like Silver and Scout
from Lone Ranger.
And that I lost. But one of the things we kind of discovered was this box of like cars.
Yes.
And in the box of cars, in like the bottom of it was a mask, not a mask,
a Tron
light cycle,
a vintage one.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh,
yeah.
So I was gonna bid on that box. I was hoping nobody saw it.
Right.
So they pulled out like there was like it was in like a little box inside the box. They pulled out the smaller box.
Right.
Suddenly people started taking notice, and then when he pulled that up to auction it, Dave was like. No, pull that Tron cycle out there. We're going to do that separate.
Like, yeah.
Oh, it was like, oh. Thanks for nothing, Gall. And I still got the thing for $3.
Yeah, it's like everybody was like, when they pulled it out and he started talking about it, everybody's like, oh, well, Tron. And then, like,
nobody bid on it.
And so Dave, I think one other person bid on it.
Maybe.
Which got it up to
yeah,
$3.
Yeah, got it up to $3.
Or maybe it started at $3.
No, it started, I think, at $1.
Right. So somebody bid you up to $3. And then they stopped. And Dave was like,
What?
And of course, Gall was like, got it for cheap, $3.
I was like, hell yeah, dude.
Draper was like, all right, because we had been joking about how Dave was going to bid on stuff and not win anything because this...
Well, the horse thing got bid up.
Right.
Like, that was the thing, is everything we didn't bid on up until then was, like, sold for pennies on the dollar. Mm-hmm. And there was one other thing that you would look at this cute little Mickey Mouse ride-on thing.
Yes.
And that, of course, was, like, the one thing out of the whole... There was a section of non-toy stuff that had that in it. And that was, like, the one thing of that whole section that actually people bid on and were aggressive about and paid money for.
They were aggressive on that.
Yeah, everything else was just, like, pennies.
Yeah. I won a Thunderhawk, and I won some other stuff, a random little, like, box that had a Short Tales wood puzzle in it, a bunch of other stuff that was kind of neat. The Thunderhawk, and then the Star Wars stuff came up.
Well, then there was also a box of Mark's dinosaurs.
Yes.
Like a flat. And then they threw in a thing of army guys, too, Army guys.
Yeah.
And the Mark's dinosaurs had some rare ones. And some of those got real expensive.
Like the original design
T-Rex. It had the original T-Rex.
Right.
Which I was kind of like, ooh, I kind of like to get that because that's a really rare figure.
Right.
So yeah, I got that for like, I think $2 or
yeah,
something.
For like $2.
Because nobody wanted it.
Yeah. There was a Shogun Warriors Godzilla that was in good shape but missing the firing
fist.
The
hand.
But it had the lever. The tongue still looked good. It looked good overall. It had all its toes and everything. The wheels still were, you know, it looked really good shape, just missing the fist. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a stab at that. I'm going to take a stab for up to, I don't know, $35.
Yeah, you went pretty high on that.
I did. I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a stab, because even though it's missing the fist, it'd be kind of something cool to put in the collection, I think.
Yeah.
For what I thought was affordable, because I think what it sold for, missing the fist, was still a good price.
It was like 40, I think missing the fist, it was a little high.
It ended up at like $65.
Oh, without the fist, that's high.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm willing to go, I'm willing to go 35, I think I went up to 40, and then I stopped. And
I would have gone up to 20 just to like, because mine has a few issues.
Right.
But I've got the fist, so I could just swap it out.
Just swap it out,
right. And that's going to be a theme that we're going to get to in a second.
Yes. So before we get to the Star Wars stuff, though, in the auction, you and Carrie carried off a bunch of stuff to the car because Carrie ended up showing up. Before we get to the Star Wars stuff, I want to get to the thing.
So we're jumping ahead.
Yeah, we are jumping ahead a little bit. So you and Carrie had showed up with the dog, and you guys had started to carry some of the stuff to the car. So you had told me as you were leaving, because the Castle Grayskull shell was there, you had told me that.
$15.
$15. You're like, don't go any higher than $15. If it goes for $15, I'll take it. Because you were like, the hinges on mine are broke, and that one's in good shape, and I can just flip-flop them out.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Uh-oh.
Well, it turns out that the one that I bought didn't have the one thing that I needed, not needed, but it didn't have the sticker of the grade at the bottom.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, crap.
Didn't I get you repros this last time, or I made you...
I
made you the cardboard stuff. I'll get you some repros of the stickers, and you could just...
Let me know about that.
Yeah.
Then maybe... Although, one thing that was interesting about that I... you know, because I don't know Masters.
Right.
One of the little floor pieces that goes into the towers at the top, you know what I'm talking about? There's a variation on that.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, there's one that's smooth.
There's one that's smooth.
And then...
There's one that has a little piece that you plug the cannon into.
Which I believe that was the first version. And I believe they did away with those. I could have them flip-flopped.
I don't know, but apparently I've got both.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I was like, that's interesting.
I like, if it is the second version, I like the one where you can actually, it has the clips to clip the cannon into, because that makes more sense.
Kind
of. Instead, because that cannon's supposed to stand on top of the castle.
I know, but I don't actually have it displayed that way. So.
Right. So, because I think you've got Orko or
something. I've got Gwildor on there.
Gwildor's up there, yeah. So, but yeah, so you bought it and flip-flopped.
For parts, yeah. I bought that, and I bought the Falcon in the box for parts.
Which was interesting, because the Falcon in the box came up, and you had made mention. The only piece that you were really going to take a stab at was they had a droid factory.
They had
some pieces that you needed.
Well, it was the only thing really out of that whole group of Star Wars toys that was relatively complete, and it had an R5-D4 that was in
good shape,
really great shape.
Yeah. So that one came up, and it just kept climbing, climbing.
The guy that we were up against knew what he was going after on that.
Yeah.
One.
So Dave dropped out, and then the Millennium Falcon in the box comes up, and the box actually was in
really good shape
for what it was, and the ship inside it, even though it was missing some junk,
dirty and it's missing some stuff,
dirty, but it was white. Like, or, well,
once you clean it off, it was
white.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Because I did. Yes. Once you clean it off, it was white.
So it comes up, and Dave, they start bidding, and I kind of poked at Dave, and I was like, weren't you going to take a stab at that? And Dave was like, I don't know. And then it gets up to like $15, and Dave went, yeah. And it got, I think, what, $20?
$20.
You took it up to $20, and it stopped, and Dave won it for $20. And Gall, David again was like, got it for cheap. And Dave was like, okay. He was like, well, that's weird.
Yeah, that surprised me. But yeah, that's what I did when I got home Sunday night, was I took my Falcon down from the display.
Yes.
And I brought that one upstairs, and basically I just sat there and literally took them both apart, completely apart.
Yep.
Clean them both off.
Clean them both off.
The one that I got originally was like, it's much cleaner than I remember it being, because I remember it being really dirty, so I must have cleaned it at some point in the past.
Really?
And then just went through piece by piece, and it's like, is this piece better than this piece?
Right, right.
Then it goes into mine.
Yep.
Part of my plan had originally been to take the one that I wasn't going to keep, well, to take it to Toyman. And put it, include the box. The problem is that my box was Empire.
Right.
And this one was Star Wars.
Right. So you're
so it's gonna go without the box.
You're like, well, I gotta keep both boxes now.
And there were a few pieces that neither one had, like both had broken ramps, which I didn't realize mine had a broken ramp. And then mine, the guns were broken too, and I was like,
oh, weird.
Really? So yeah, well, I bought it like, I bought that in 1994.
Right out of college, right?
Right out of college. That was
it was the first thing you bought, wasn't it?
That was the first Star Wars item I bought, because that was the weekend that I went back to college to see my love of my life, and everything fell apart.
Oh, yeah.
And so we went to Boston
instead.
That
led you down this dark, dark path of toy collecting.
Kind of did. Kind of did. You
can blame that heartless cow for everything.
No, she's a good person.
No.
Just, it was a bad
situation.
It was a bad situation. I was more like a collateral damage.
Oh.
Because her father...
I gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
So I was like collateral damage.
Oh, I feel you. But it was a really good weekend. Of course, David gave us a plug, because at one point he made mention to everybody. Was like, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that like all those old dudes ran right home and
looked us up. Yeah.
Hit their computers.
But it was very nice of David to plug us, though. And
I
really, really appreciate that. And I told him that after we were done. I was like, you know, you didn't have to do that. And I appreciate it. So that was kind of cool for David to do, which... you know, I know he listens to the show, and he enjoys it, so that's all that matters. But anytime the Gulls have toys in their auction, I try to go, or we try to go. Like, I think the last one we went to together was they had the flag, and they had the...
Yeah, that was the infamous pterodrome. Pile O Spawn.
The truckload O Spawn, because nobody was bidding on it. Dave and I were buying those.
But I still have one or two in the closet of shame that are still, like, I've never opened.
Yeah.
I have no place for them.
We were buying them by the columns for,
yes,
like, $5 basically. A column.
Well, because there was, like, every column had one figure that I wanted.
Yeah.
Which is maddening.
And nobody but one gal, like...
she wanted one figure from one column, and it's like, really?
And we had to stop her, because at one point she was bidding. Remember, she was bidding against you.
Yeah,
we finally had to pull her
son
and be like, look, we'll let us bid. We will give you the piece that you want. Just let us win them, because we can win them for $5, and then you just have the damn thing. And I think that's what we did, and we just give it to her, because it was like $5. We're like, just had it. Because you got everything you wanted, basically.
Basically.
We ended up with a truck full of Spawn.
You ended up with like a whole ton of them.
I did. I took a bunch of them to Toyman and sold them for...
Well, you still got a whole shelf full, too.
Yeah, I do. And I'm still... Those are still one of the things I'm debating. I'm like, do I want to keep all these still? Or can I use that space for something else? And I'm like, do I really want to deal with it? Because some of these are broken. Notorious for, like, looking at them wrong and an arm falls off. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, stuff's rattling around in the packaging.
Yeah, you're like, no, come on, Todd. Really? Man.
Yeah, I had to cut corners somewhere to afford all them...
All them paint apps.
All them Meguiar baseballs.
That's true. $70 million baseballs.
That was a good investment.
Yes, this is very true. The thing I wanted to talk about, which actually came about on a Vintage Star Wars group, and it was somebody actually made mention... A while back, Jordan Himbro for Toy Hunter, when Toy Hunter was on Travel Channel, did a bunch of these little... video series for Toy Hunter, or for TravelChannel.com, to kind of promote Toy Hunter on there. And in one of them, he actually opens up a sealed vintage 12-inch Princess Leia.
All right.
Yeah, so he did that on camera. They kind of made a big deal about it.
I didn't see the backer thing, but I see it there on the table.
They kind of made a big deal because, you know, they show him with a knife cutting the tape, and he pulls it all out and pulls her apart, and he left the comb... And I guess she comes with the blaster.
No, she comes with a comb and a mirror.
No, the mirror.
She didn't come with weapons. She comes with like a comb and she comes with girly things.
I guess he left, you know.
Insult intended to the female gender. Saying in 1977, they were like.
So he left those in bag and he just opened up the doll and he said, you know, even loose with the box, he could still sell it for, you know, because the box isn't, you know. But somebody made mention of this like 2 years later and people on the Star Wars group went nuts, like attacking Jordan over it. Like, and I'm going,
well, I don't know why he would do that in the first place.
Well, it went from that to people complaining about, oh, it's all staged, to people going, you realize reality TV shows are staged. They're not real. There's no reality in reality television. It's all staged. It has to be. To me piping in saying, you know, the show is geared not towards us as collectors, but geared towards
non-collectors. No, but you're wrong on that. Because when we talked to Jordan, that was something that I wish... Not that I could take back, but I wish we could almost get a second bite of the apple on that one, because he made it very clear that they were kind of targeting collectors.
Jordan and his crew were. Travel Channel was targeting
non-collectors. But yeah, and that's the thing, is where it was a big hit was with non-collectors.
Right.
That's what made it the big hit, and that's what I think is I would have liked to have asked him about, because to me that's an interesting... He made it sound like they were aiming at us, but it was like... Cherry, or your, or Carrie, or my mom.
Right.
My mom would have loved that show.
Yes.
Because obviously her son was into toys, and she loved shows where you find out that stuff, you know, she was always into, like, stuff that's worth money.
Right.
She always wanted to know what stuff was worth.
Right.
So she would have been fascinated by this thing. But that's who it's for. People, you know, like my exterminator, who doesn't
collect
toys. Or
like the cable guy who came in the other day and was talking to me about toys.
It's the guy that knows someone who's into toys.
Right. Well, it eventually, there was one person that left a comment of the fact that, which really irked me, which made me go, this is ridiculous. Somebody made mention of, because one of the people had commented the fact that, along with me, that the show was designed to open up the hobby to new people, basically. It's to show new people, hey, there's this cool hobby that you can be a part of, this toy collecting hobby. You know, there's all kinds of great stuff you could collect, so, you know, come join the hobby. And somebody made a comment that...
Okay, I never got that impression, but okay.
I kind of got that impression.
Yeah,
because it did bring new people into the hobby. It brought people who never thought about doing it, going back and, yeah. So.
Weren't those the people that the collectors really were, like, worried about in the first place, You mean that my Boba Fett can, like, put my child through college? Woo-wee! I'm going to buy up everything I see at the flea market.
Yeah, yes and no. And you know, you still hear about prices being, you know, prices skyrocketing. But, again, other than Star Wars and Joe and Transformers, which really never lose their value for the most part.
I know, but it's just like people...
It's like that nothing's really happened with the... Some prices have gone down.
But, I mean, that is the flaw in this thing. That is the double... Because people don't see the subtlety of it, and particularly because a show like Toy Hunter has to show you the good stuff.
Right.
Like the one episode that I really remember, because I've only seen like three episodes.
Right.
But, you know, they had like a missile firing Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
They had the episode where they went to the guy's house and he had the land ram from Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
And then he ended up buying a flag.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the infamous nobody has too.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted. But then someone goes, well, I've got this G.I. Joe thing, which is, you know, like a vamp with like the gun missing and one wheel falling off. It must be worth $100 million too.
Right. Really?
And then you deal with these people at toy shows and it's like, you know, ugh.
Yeah. Well, somebody made a comment that actually moves away with that and this is what irked me. He says, I get that we need to keep it alive, but the elitist in me will always strive for exclusivity. It's like, really, is there still a big problem with this elitist attitude in toy collecting to where people, I mean, there is.
You know, that's funny because, and I don't know if I want to do this because, you know, we try not to be political on the show.
Correct.
And I want to do this in as neutral a way as possible because as Michael Jordan once said, Republicans buy shoes too.
Right.
But there was an interesting article, I think, in the New York Times this weekend. Maybe it was the Wall Street Journal, but I think it was New York Times, talking about how, for those of you who don't follow the news, the Supreme Court had a big ruling on Friday about same-sex couples are allowed to marry.
Yep.
And that, you know, suddenly Facebook exploded with rainbows.
Yes.
And there was an interesting article in New York Times about how some gay people were saying, you know, I kind of miss being an outsider.
Right.
Like, suddenly we're, you know, suddenly we're normal. Suddenly we're not special anymore.
Correct.
Suddenly we are just like everybody else. And, right. And all of a sudden it's like, well, wait, I kind of define myself.
By being different.
By being different. Right, right. And now suddenly I'm mainstream. And this is something that I've noticed in our, in geek subculture.
Right.
And I assume that's where you were going with the toy thing and the elitist was, you know, we were a special subculture and now all of a sudden everybody's in it.
Right.
You know, and I've noticed it in other subcultures. It's like, and I've said it before, that acceptance is assimilation.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like there was a time when being a geek meant you were different and special. In a bad way, usually, you know.
Right, right.
But now everybody's into superheroes and everybody's into this and everybody's into, you know.
Yeah. You were the pedophile on the corner playing with toys.
You were the weird kid, yeah.
I think the elitist thing for me, and I think...
Okay, maybe I went a completely different way,
no,
sorry.
No, you touched base on a part of it as well. To me, that comment on that was what set me off is the fact that I looked at this person going... And what frustrated me, because we have met dealers, not dealers we know that we're friends with, not guys like Jeff May.
Dan.
Or
Dealer Dan.
None of those
Jeff
guys.
May.
No, none of those guys, because those guys are sweet.
Josh Flood, who's history's greatest monster.
But we've met people that had that very elitist attitude to where they don't want anyone new coming into their shows or selling at their shows because they want to have all the best stuff and they want the best deals on stuff. And that comment is what made me go, this guy basically is saying, no, I don't want new people coming into this hobby because I want to keep buying all this stuff for myself, and I don't want anyone else to get a chance at anything that I might have a chance on.
Gotcha.
That frustrates me. Because as somebody who encountered a lot of that elitist attitude collecting comics in the late 80s, early 90s, because comic shops at those eras, you know, I was lucky
to... Even today.
Oh, yeah, even today. I was lucky to find a comic shop when I started collecting comics that was very welcoming and inviting, and yeah, that's where I met... one of the guys that still owns a comic shop here in town that's still a wonderful person.
Is that Jim?
That's Jim at Comic Service here in Springfield, Illinois. A great person. One of the most knowledgeable people when it comes to comics. But a lot of those places were very elitist. Like, you would walk in as a new person and they wouldn't talk to you. They wouldn't help you. You would go to buy something.
I kind of had that experience.
They would laugh at you.
They laugh. You know, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And they were kind of laughing.
Yeah. It, you know, there's that elitist attitude in toys. And what I was getting at when I started collecting comics is I started getting into toys too. And there were people that came into the comic shop that collected toys that would not, I would ask them questions about stuff. And, you know, again, I'm like a 15, 16 year old kid. I'm just like, I want to know, you know, can you tell me about the Vintage Joe line? Can you tell me about this, about that? And these guys, they elitist, they just like, kid, get out of here because you're never going to understand. We don't want you a part of you. We don't want you to understand it. You know, you would go, there was there was a comic show here in town for a couple of years at the Prairie Capital Convention Center. It was pretty big.
They had it at a hotel once or twice, yeah, too, didn't they? Yeah.
That was pretty large for what it was. And you would go there and the toy dealers would just, you would kind of peruse their table and they were elitist towards you. They'd be like, you would want to be, how much is that? And be like, more than you can afford, kid, move on. And
that's,
it's like,
weird.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. So I had to learn everything that I know about toys on my own from reading books, from reading magazines, from doing research. You know, I actually went to the library and checked out every book I could find on toys and toy collecting and read, you know, everything I could find and get my hands on. And that comment made me think, this person doesn't want to share, not only does he not want to share what, you know, is the Star Wars people are a little weird about it, but
hey,
I'm just saying, there are more elitist,
cheese.
There are more elitist attitudes, it seems to be, in Star Wars than anything
else. Oh, is there?
I think. Because I've met a lot.
I think My Little Pony people have the worst attitudes. Yeah,
the My Little Pony guy, the bronies,
of the
have,
human race.
Yeah, the bronies have a very elitist attitude about it. They're very welcoming, but you mentioned G1 ponies and they want to kill you. But it's like, this guy doesn't want to share any of that knowledge. Like, we like to share.
That's
knowledge.
Weird. Like, yeah. Well, you know, actually, that's not weird. I remember when I first got online, and I kind of reached out to the, not just necessarily toy, but the Star Wars community, because right. I thought these people are into Star Wars like me,
right?
They were kind of cliquish.
Yeah.
And you know, the word I wanted to use was not family friendly.
Right.
Poopy.
Poopy, yeah. They were poopy heads.
Yeah, they were poopy heads.
That's one of the things that we've always strived ourselves at Toy World Order is the fact that we, you know, we have seen other websites and other toy guys
yeah.
that do what we do become extremely elitist and clicky. And it's like they want to.
I want to throw a name out just to be a jerk, but I won't.
They, you know, they want to
because we need him.
But we,
you know, and I'd be kidding because people figured out quick.
Yes, but we strive ourselves in the fact that we share our knowledge, we share our love of toys with everyone and everything we do, and I have no problem, like, you know, helping people, you know, figure this out or do deals or any of this stuff that, you know, it's sure it could be stuff that I could own, but I'm like, what if someone else wants it? Yeah, I want it, but if I can help someone else sell this to get it to somebody else, why wouldn't I? Like, there's no elitist attitudes at Toy World Order, and there's none on the fan group. And that attitude on that one post just set me off in my mind for the last 24 hours, just going, why? Why is there still this extreme elitist attitude towards people that, especially in that, where they obviously they don't want to share the hobby with anyone. They don't want to share their knowledge with anyone. They don't want anyone new to come in or try to buy or sell around them, because they want to hoard all those deals for themselves and corner the market themselves, so then they can have all the most cherry items. Now, as a collector, I can get that to a degree. Yeah. But there's also the fact that we go to shows together all the time, and Danny goes to shows with all the time, and there are times when the three of us are after the same item.
It's pretty rare, but
it happens.
That's what happened to poor Josh Flood.
That is what happened to poor Josh
Flood. That is what happened to poor Josh Flood.
But we, you know, we tend to handle it well. We're not going to badmouth the other person or...
Oh, no.
No. And no. It's like, that's the kind of attitudes I think these people are getting at, is they have these very mindset where if you were to go to a Star Wars show and grab something out from one of these guys and buy it before they can get to it, they would kind of like Hot Wheels Al.
Oh, God, yeah.
Hot Wheel guys are very elitist, some of them, to a degree.
They were crazy back in the day.
Yeah, and they were the worst. And to a degree, they're still the worst at times.
I don't know, because now I never see them anymore.
Yeah, you don't see the hardcore guys anymore. But the hardcore guys were very much, you know, we've told the story before where Hot Wheels Al showed up at your door after
pulled up in my driveway, yeah,
wanting his treasure hunt. You're going, I bought an Ecto-mobile. What do you want?
Yeah, I bought an Ecto-1. Yeah. I bought it for me.
I'm like, I didn't buy no treasure hunt. It wasn't even a treasure hunt. So, I'm aghast that I'm not surprised. I'm more disappointed in some of the people in the toy communities that there's still those attitudes existing to this day, and I guess it just, I don't know why it struck me, like so much so that I was just like, I can't believe that. Like, why would you not want to share this? Like, what if a 15-year-old, 16? I mean, we like Mason, our buddy Mason. He's a little guy,
yeah,
and he loves collecting, and when he sat at the booth, when John was out shopping, you know, he's sitting down and he sat at the booth with me and you were gone. And it was just me and Mason. He was asking me all kinds of questions about toys. And I'm telling him, I'm like, those are great. That's great. That's great. That's cool. You know, it's like, why wouldn't you openly share that knowledge with anyone coming into the hobby that wants to learn? Why would you not want to share with them the trials and tribulations, the things to look out for, the things to look for, the things not to buy, you know, the things to buy, you know? Stay away from this dealer because he, you know, he's shady, or stay away from that, or, you know, buy from this guy because he brings in the best stuff and he'll cut you a good deal on it, or, you know, I just don't understand it. And maybe it's because I wear my heart in my sleeve.
A little bit.
And I want to be that helpful guy, and I've always been that helpful guy, but it just...
Well, I mean, maybe that's some of it, but also you love this stuff so much that it's exciting and fun for you to share it with people.
Yeah, I don't understand how that can be different from... How can other people not be in this hobby and not have the same amount of fun and enthusiasm we have for stuff?
I don't know.
Why do they have to be so negative and no, you don't buy that Star Wars toy, I'm going to buy it, and you can never have it, and blah, 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 you know, or...
Well, I mean, my thing is I have a very sort of... these things were produced in the millions.
Yeah.
You know, so if you get it now, I'll find another one.
Right.
The odds that I don't are pretty low.
Yeah.
One way or another. I mean, you know, we were talking last week about the double telescoping Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
There were three of them.
Yeah.
This is like one of the rarest toys in history.
Yeah.
And he sold, the very fact that there were three on card.
Yeah.
I mean, you will get another shot at it.
Yeah, it'll come back. Another one will pop back up.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't get why people have to be nasty about things. I mean, I can see people getting on your nerves, or people... I can see scenarios where you don't want to be friendly, or you don't want to... But, I mean, to just be nasty about it, to just be like, I just want all the good stuff for myself, and I'm not going to... Don't ask me stupid questions.
Yeah, and
I don't get that. Because then... why are you even doing this? If you don't love it,
yeah, if you're...
why are you doing it? Aside from the fact that there are people, and I've seen them, you know, dealers that talk about how they just love to take money away from stupid collectors, stupid, you know, stupid fanboys who live in their mommy's basement. Ha ha ha, I'm going to take all their money. There are people with that mentality.
Yeah.
And it is, let's face it, it's a hobby that if you know, it's low-hanging fruit. I mean, like Hot Wheels guys, all they have to do is get that one car.
Yeah.
You know? All they have to do is hit garage sales. You don't need a high school degree. You don't need a college diploma.
Right.
To get this stuff and then rip off people like you and me.
Right, right.
And then we kind of make it worse because we'll actually pay them. Well, you won't, but I will actually pay the money. And most collectors will pay the money.
Right.
So that a guy like Al can make a living doing this nonsense.
Yeah.
Without any real
repercussions
skill or education. Right. And I do think that breeds a certain degree of... And fandom also, you know. I mean, you do get the unwashed guys. And yeah, I mean, you know, a guy like me, I'm a big guy. I take a shower every day. But, you know, you get me out there...
You smell good.
Thank you. Yeah. But you get me out there like hour two or hour three, and you know,
smell pretty fresh.
I smell like chicken grease, which is weird and disturbing.
Oh, weird.
I know. It's like, I smell delicious. I just want to eat my own fingers.
Don't eat your fingers.
I know. It's disturbing.
They are mildly large sausage-like, but don't eat them.
I know.
Hey, mine are too. Don't feel bad. Look at my fingers. I've always had these big old fat, funky fingers
I hate taking pictures of things in my hands. It's like... big old fat sausage.
What we need to do is we need to find you a little beer can so you can hold it, and that way when we take a picture, you'll look like Andre the Giant. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I don't. Well, like I said, I understand why people would be in the hobby if they don't love it, because it is an easy thing to do in a lot of ways.
I guess I don't get that. I'm like you said, why do this if you don't love it? Why collect?
Because it's easy money for people who have no other real skills or value to contribute to humanity.
It's frustrating to me.
I mean, but yeah, really I like
they attack Himbro all the time, which we talked about in the past.
People, because he's successful.
Because he's successful, but it's obvious, and you know, and after meeting him and talking to him, you know, the man obviously loves toys. I mean, he loves what he does, and he loves toys. He's very, even though for all the ways that he was portrayed on that show, and people got upset about because it seemed like he didn't know, the man knows his stuff.
Yeah,
like he's knowledgeable about what he's doing. I mean, look, he got 3 12-back. Carded, double telescoping Luke Skywalkers, knew what they were, asked the right price, and made, you know, a crap ton of money on them.
Yeah.
So, but it's the guys that don't know what they have or don't understand what they have, and then...
Well, it's a, you know, I get mixed things about that, because it's like, I do feel guilty. I don't know if I feel guilty, but there is a part of me that, well, like, when you find something and it's, like, really cheap, you're like... I almost feel like, do I buy this thing that I know is worth more?
Right.
Or do I tell them that it's worth more? And I generally side on, no, you know what? It balances out karmically for all the times I've overpaid.
Right. I agree, and I feel the same way. I do feel a little guilt when...
But some of it's, you know, for all the times I've complained about the guy who was like, let me check eBay, or the guy at the auction who wouldn't sell me the scout that I wanted.
Right, because he was a reseller.
Well, he's a reseller, and he wanted to check to see how much it was worth beforehand. Right. And frankly, based on what I saw, I probably would have been taking it. I didn't know it.
Right.
But it would have been sold to me for less than it was really, quote, worth.
Right.
So I understand that. But, I mean, you do your homework. If you're going to be in this business, you do your homework.
Yeah, and we've done our homework quite a bit, and it's always the thrill of the hunt for us. That's why...
No, I hate the hunt.
Well, that's part of the reason why I love what we do and why we do it. I mean, I love...
Give me my stuff.
You know, I love going to toy shows with you and trying to see what we find, and that's always fun. You know, I love going out with Carrie to flea markets and stuff and going through booths and digging through... antique stores and trying to find, you know, the best stuff for the best value. And to me, it's, you know, I love the toys. I love what I collect. I love what I have.
Yeah.
And I love the hunt. I love the feel. And I love sharing that experience with people. I love sharing that, you know, we don't come off the same way like as Danny does on camera, where Danny's enthusiasm is just, it bleeds through the camera to the viewer. Like, our enthusiasm is a little bit more laid back to a degree, but...
Some of that's just our style, yeah.
Some of it's just our style, yeah. But I love sharing, you know, if we're at shows and we're talking, you've been witness to it. I can talk to a random fan or somebody at a show for 25, 30 minutes about...
Yes.
And just share the enthusiasm I have for it, because that's what I love to do. I just... I guess, like I said, I just don't understand why there are so many people out there that are in this hobby, that are in these fandoms, that are doing the same types of thing, that don't want to share with people and don't want to spread that knowledge and continue to help people and you know, form more friendships. Like, we've formed so many friendships with dealers and other sites and other reviewers, more so than I think most other reviewers would even attempt to, because in their mind, they're in it for them, and that's it. Like, we're like, you know, let's be friends. What's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's how we've met some of the most interesting and appealing people that we know, is through shows and stuff and other dealers and making connections and helping each other out. You know, I can't tell you how many times we've helped other dealers out with stuff, you know, just out of the, you know, and just because we want to do it, just because it's like, yeah, let's, you know, let's do it. And, you know, I don't understand it. I guess that was the most frustrating thing to me over the last 24, 48 hours, was reading that comment and going, I just don't like people like that. I just don't enjoy it. I don't, never understand it.
Like, there's going to be jerks everywhere, so.
Yeah. It just goes back to my high school years where I was picked on and bullied. I'm like, these guys are bullies. And it's frustrating to me.
It was, in high school, especially after my sophomore year, I was a little too big to be bullied.
You could
be bullied.
Because you could just back into them into a locker and stand there.
I think people overestimated my ability to fight back based on my size.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I was a skinny lad who got picked on quite a bit.
Yeah, I know.
I was a skinny lad with a lazy eye and weird teeth.
Yeah.
Before my teeth got fixed. And yeah, I got picked on a whole bunch. Bunches and bunches. Which is why I became a library brat and worked in the library during my high school
years. Oh, well, yeah. My freshman year, we pretty much stayed in the library during lunch break.
Yep. It's where I lived for a long time, was the libraries.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say we...
Good times.
We say we answer some fan questions
Me.
For this week. The first one, Jeff May says, I had a question the other day, but now I forgot.
Thanks for
contributing. And then he comes back and he says, okay, I came up with one. After the Vincent knockoff that he spied this previous week, which he was in a store. And
I saw that.
A little 70s era, I don't know what kind of robot it was, like what it was used for. Like, it was like one of those things where you put like an 8-track in and it would press buttons. Yeah. And it looked like Vincent from Black Hole. And that's because that size of Vincent was supposed to come out and then the line got canceled and that mold just got used somewhere else. Cause it is Vincent from Black Hole. It just doesn't have the same designs on it,
but color scheme.
He says, do you have a favorite knockoff figure in your collection?
I'm trying to remember his exact name. It's Galaxy Cop?
Oh, yeah. The Star Wars knockoff.
It's a Star Wars Stormtrooper knockoff. I think it's Galaxy Cop. Yep. I just have him on the car, and yep. The galaxy is his beat.
That's because they made a Stormtrooper, they made a Han Solo.
Well, it's a different one. They made a Stormtrooper and Darth Vader from that. There's a different line of knockoffs. They have a bunch of those, and I think I have most of those.
Right.
But that has, like, the power of the Force to Han and Luke Skywalker and Chewie as Snoova.
Yep.
And they're like, 5 inches tall and in weird colors.
Yeah, they're weird colors. I remember those. They were sold at, like, Big Lots or Dollar Stores.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think they were sold in Mexico.
Yeah.
Mexico.
Those are pretty cool.
Well, and then, of course, Superhero from Fun School.
Oh, yeah, the Superhero
from Fun School. G.I. Joe Superman.
Yep. Which is literally a Superman figure.
It's a Superman figure as a G.I. Joe.
Yep. It's pretty kooky. I think my favorite knockoff I have is actually that hard plastic, unposable knockoff from Chuck Norris Karate Commandos that's like a super ninja head and like the Ninja Warrior body. And it's just like this weird mashup of those two figures in this weird hard plastic. It's just so kooky. And then I realized that when researching it to see, you know, of course, never really figure out who made it, but there's a bunch of them, and I'm like, oh, I want them all. I must have them all. That's my favorite knockoff, though. Jason Metzger says, do you think any company might do a large-scale playset in the future on this scale, in the terms of Eternia or even Boulder Hill? Thanks, and keep up the good work. I don't think
if they did, it would be for Turtles.
It would be for Turtles. I mean, Turtles is about the only thing that's come close in the past years.
Well, Turtle had that ginormous...
Had the sewer playset.
Yeah.
Big, yeah. And that thing was, you know, 3 feet tall.
And it was huge. And
it
sold.
It had some cardboard. Yeah, it sold. It had some cardboard pieces, but even at $100, it sold really well. That's probably, you know, in the past, we've had Hasbro do the big Millennium Falcon and some of the bigger.
Yeah, and what happened every freaking time, and it happened with the Joes, too, is that the fans would wait until they'd show up at TJ Maxx or, you know.
On clearance. Yep. And snatch them up.
Then buy them. Yeah. And that's why Hasbro doesn't do that anymore.
Yep, that's why they don't do one every Christmas anymore. Because the last one I think they did was, what, the Turbo Tank?
No, they did a weird one. It was like a shuttle that transformed into a playset kind of thing for Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And to be fair, that one I skipped because I'm like, I have no attachment to whatever this vehicle is supposed to be.
Yeah. The one before that they did was Turbo Tank.
They did a Turbo Tank. Well, okay, they did the Big Millennium Falcon. They didn't add it. They did Turbo Tank. They did the AT. They did the ancestor of the AT-AT.
The android carrier.
No, they did the android carrier too.
Right.
But they did it was a six legged one from Attack of the Clones. Yeah, I can't remember the exact designation of it.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure the last one they did was that weird shuttle kind of thing that transformed.
I gotcha. I don't know if they'll ever do another. I'm sure.
Maybe for, I mean, if they were doing it for anything else, it would be Force Awakens.
Yeah, it'd be, yeah.
And I don't know if they would do it for
Force Awakens. And I know, like, on the girl side of things, like, you've got, you know, some of the Disney Princess stuff is really big. Like, the places are huge.
Well, isn't there a Monster High School
that is ginormous? That's like $120 or something like that, but it's huge.
Yeah.
So on the girls' side, they're making some big playsets, and even with Imagine X, you're getting some huge playsets like the Power Rangers Megazord.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them for Batman. Yeah. There's a bunch, Gotham City, yep. And
so there are some. You just kind of got to look for the different lines to see what's out there. John Solo says, "Hey D&D, just today at Target and several times over the past few months, I've gone up to check out with a new toy only to find out it won't scan. Most of the time, the clerk asks me if I know the price. Of course, I do, but I always take a few bucks off to punish the store for not putting the toy in the system and to stick it to a huge corporate toy companies for overpricing these pieces of plastic. Have you guys done this, or am I a dishonest lowlife who will be doomed to a future of darkness? No parents."
I wouldn't do it just because I'd be afraid I'd get caught.
I used to do it for people at Toys R Us when something would ring up.
I was going
to
say, I had a friend, though, who worked at Walmart, and yeah, like, if they put it out on the shelves before properly scanning in the system,
yeah.
And he worked at the toy department, they would call him in, and if it was me, he'd kind of knock a couple of bucks off, because he'd be like, look, you know, screw those guys for not doing their job right.
And that's how I felt it when I was working at Toys R Us or running the departments. If something came in and went on the shelf, had a price, you know, had a price tag in the system, but when you scanned it, it wouldn't scan. I would just put it in for like $2 off, $3 off, and just give the person a deal because it's obvious they want it. You know, and half the time it was parents that were buying stuff for kids, like with their kids with them, and the stuff wouldn't ring up. And I'd be like, you know, that's Toys R Us's fault, not mine. I'm like, I'm not going to deny you a toy just because it won't ring. Like, here, you know, here's a discount on it too. I don't know. That's a very gray line though, because, it's not, you know, I will admit to have done it while working for Toys R Us.
But you were doing it for someone else.
I was doing it for someone else.
And in my case, someone else did it for me without being asked to do it. Like to actually like have the temerity to go, yeah, it's worth this. Because a lot of times they ask for like they'll call up the people to like do the codes and check the thing and do the thing.
Now in the past, I will admit that Carrie and I have gone to many a Black Friday sale. And bought stuff. You know, I think one that I can think of, we went to Walmart and they had a camera and a hard drive on sale that day. So we bought a camera and a hard drive. And you can only buy one per. They rang the camera up twice and charged us twice. So we looked at the receipt and I went back and told them, I was like, hey, you guys rang the camera up twice. So they refunded us the camera. I ended up getting the hard drive for free because they rang it up as a camera. So that kind of stuff's happened. And yeah. I honestly haven't felt bad about that. I haven't lost any sleep. Does it make me a bad person? Eh. Does it make me a little dishonest? Eh, probably, but eh.
Yeah.
In the end, that was their screw-up, not mine. And yes, I have gone up with a toy several times where I've never said something about the price, but they've rang it up, they've tried to find a price, and then the best thing I can think of was Goodwill, which is really weird, but we bought a Masters Universe game at Goodwill in St. Louis. And all the other board games were $2, and this one didn't have a price on it. So when she gets it up, we got it up to the counter, she looked at it, and on the bottom of it, there was a price tag for like $27. And I'm like, and she's like, and the lady working the cash register goes, well, that can't be right. And I was like, I don't think so, because I think all the other board games are $2. So I got it for $2. Because she initiated and said, I don't think that's right. And I was like, you know what? All the other board games are $2. And that's how I got it. So,
you're saying it was $27?
Oh, yeah. No, it was supposed to be almost $30, which is stupid weird. But
that is stupid weird.
Yeah. Joshua Flood says, Dave, truce? And there's a story behind that.
Is there?
There might be.
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, Flood contacted me. There was a Sherwood Forest playset on eBay, which I had actually seen. It was missing some parts, and he sent me a message on Facebook saying, did you see this? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, I can get it for about $20 less than the guy's asking for it. And that included shipping.
Right.
Would you be interested? And I'm like, well, it had the leaves.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I suppose.
So, Josh, you made Josh feel so bad.
You should feel bad.
And all your heckling.
You should feel bad.
That Josh found you a Sherwood Forest playset.
You know what? He made a choice. He made a choice between you and me. And here's the thing, Josh. Is Jason would have forgotten it and gotten over it by the end of that weekend.
Yeah, probably.
So the next time you're even thinking, gee, should I go with Dave or Jason? Just probably remember, go with Dave
first.
Just remember who carries a grudge.
Forever.
And who lets stuff go.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you can still choose Jason, but I'm just saying, you know what you're getting.
Dave's coming after you with a poker. Oh, gosh. So, truce?
Me.
Yeah, all right. I take that as a yes, Josh.
Grudging.
Lee Vallis says, hey, guys, in an alternate reality where the toy industry had continued its popularity from the 80s and 90s, where do you think would be at with today's tech and production capabilities? What kind of toy lines, action features, playsets do you think or wish we'd have? You know, even looking at the alternate reality of that situation, for me, I think it still would have came to where it is now, because prices still would have gone up. The toy industry changed so much with articulation and sculpting.
I think he's just indulging in a little sort of... I wouldn't worry too much about, like... You're adding too many factors into it. I think it'd be cool. I think you'd probably be able to push a button on the back and they'd have, like, much better sort of vocal, you know, lines from whatever.
Right.
There'd be like a Mikey, you push a button, you go, cowabunga, dude!
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Not like the talking 12-inch dude.
No.
Joe's
no.
Cobra Commander is at the door!
No. There'd be like a little sound check. I think the figures would be really well articulated in this alternate reality. You'd have cool figures.
Yeah.
You'd have, you know, I think the 4-inch line would, I think 4 inches would be a standard, and I think 6 inches would be the standard. I think those would be the two
right
main lines.
In a perfect world, the oddball lines like Visionaries and Supernaturals would still be going on today.
Yeah, well, I think they would have had comebacks.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bandai would not have gotten Thundercats, and Thundercats would have probably, I think it still wouldn't have been a huge success because Cartoon Network screwed it over.
Cartoon Network would have buried that no matter what reality
we're in. But I think you would have gotten like maybe two waves and some cool stuff.
Yep. Unfortunately, we did not.
No.
So, and then last but not least, Tony Hernandez says, what license would you like LEGO to get a hold of for one of their set releases? As of now, I know they have a Ghostbusters set, but not too sure if they have another. Also, do you feel the Ghostbusters set is worth the price? Well, they're doing another Ghostbusters set as part of their LEGO Dimensions. So it's one of those buildable, playable, interacts with the game sets. There is a Ghostbusters set coming out for that.
I remember. We talked about that.
If the new movie has a big merchandising push, it will. But you'll probably see, depending on what rating they give that movie, you'll probably see a LEGO set for the girls and probably some vintage style LEGO sets as well. I don't know what licenses. I mean, a lot of the licenses they've had, you know, they have.
What license do they not have?
They had Turtles, and they've lost Turtles to Mega Bloks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so Turtles got pushed back to Mega Bloks.
That was a fumble.
Yeah, pretty much.
That wasn't a fumble on LEGO's part. That was a fumble on Nick's part.
Yep.
The hell,
well,
dude?
I guess that, you know, of course the movie sets didn't sell that well for them.
Well, no, because the movie wasn't that popular.
Yeah, so those got switched over to Mega Bloks. They're getting Scooby-Doo, which I've always kind of wanted to see as LEGO, because I always thought it'd be a cute little line for LEGO sets. God, I don't know, man. They got Disney. Star Wars was the big one that people wanted for years. They finally got.
Star Wars is the one that kicked off the whole merchandising thing, too.
Yep.
Or the licensing thing.
Would have much rather seen Hasbro just license out their properties to Lego rather than...
Yeah, I would say probably, like...
Because no offense, even though Dave hates the Star Trek Creo, a Star Trek Lego set would have been awesome.
Yeah, Star Trek Lego would be good.
Yep. Would have been very... And Dave would have probably bought
the... It's not that I hate... I hate that they chose to go with Creo over instead of anything else. Instead of an actual line,
yeah. I don't know. Do you have anything that you can think of?
Star Trek's a good one. I mean, G.I. Joe. I'd love to see G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Actual Lego set.
Would have loved to have seen, you know, since they've had this license with Disney for a few years, they had it when Tron Legacy came out. I would have loved to have seen some Tron Lego sets. I think that would have been kind of neat.
I'm deeply curious to see what they do with Doctor Who.
Yeah, Doctor Who will be. Yep. Because we should be seeing that, because we saw the Big Bang Theory set, we should be seeing the Doctor Who set here real soon, because those got the same, picked at the same time. So we should be seeing that here real soon for the Lego Ideas set. I'm curious to see what they do with Doctor Who. That was one that people wanted for a while, and they finally got all that licensing sorted away.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that was harder, because they actually had a building set.
Yeah, license. Underground Toys was doing that building set, and those were just crummy.
They were okay.
Yeah.
They were on par. Those figures were on par with the Lego girl figures.
Yeah, the Friends line and the princess. Line, yeah. Yeah, they were. They're kind of in the same vein. Do we feel the Ghostbusters set was worth the price?
I don't remember how much it was.
It's like $60, I think.
It was a little pricey
for what it was. Yeah, I mean, even
the Legos are expensive. Anyway.
Oh yeah, $60 for that set is actually kind of a deal.
I don't think it's a deal, but I think it's probably... It's not ridiculous. It's not,
no.
It's pricey, but it's within the realm of reality. Because it was intended to be a special one-off thing.
Yep. So, I think it's worth it if you can find it, you know, for the still a retail. You should still be able to find it pretty easily, I think, at Lego.com and the Lego stores. And I know at one point it showed up in a bunch of retails, like Walmart had it, Toys R Us had it.
Toys R Us had it, yeah.
They may still...
I think Toys R Us still does.
Yeah, they may still carry it, but...
At one point I walked in, they had DeLoreans.
Yeah, they had DeLoreans, too. I think it's worth picking up. If you're a Ghostbusters fan, it's worth having. There you go, guys. That's going to bring Dave and I to the end of another show for the week.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with an all-new show. Make sure you check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look up Toy World Order. Subscribe to the feed. You get both the show and Married to the Collection under one banner. And also make sure you check us out on YouTube.com/Toy World Order. Hit subscribe. As the puppet likes to say, mash the like button. Enjoy all of our videos and so much more we've got on there. So check that out. And David?
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.